This is a CBC podcast.
Support for delivery of this podcast comes from the all-new 2008 Cadillac CTS. Be an original. Visit Cadillac.gm.ca.
Hey, you. Welcome to the best of Definitely Not the Opera, the Edmonton edition. That is right. We are coming to you from E-Town this week, where we're trying to find out what makes Edmonton such a funny place. And who better to ask than some comedians, right? Coming up, a chat with celebrated playwright Chris Craddock and a song straight from singing comic Joe Bird's kitchen. We'll also check out a soap opera performed live without a script and find out how Edmonton compares to the Big Apple. That's right, folks. It's podcast time. Chris Craddock is a bona fide Edmonton success story. Chris is one of the biggest draws on the Fringe Theatre Festival circuit. His musical Boy Groove, a satire of the boy band phenomenon, was a Fringe hit that went on to a successful run in Toronto. And more recently, Chris co-wrote and starred in Bashed, described as a gay rap opera. It's just been picked up for a three-month off-Broadway run in New York City next year. Here to talk to me about Edmonton and his new rap opera is hometown performing arts whiz, Chris Craddock. Hello, Chris.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing well. First off, why did you want to tell this story?
Well, we live in Alberta, and Alberta's pretty rednecky, and I'm in the theater, so I'm pretty much a part of the queer community here in Edmonton. And during the marriage debate on equal marriage, Alberta, of course, was a stalwart that we were not gonna, notwithstanding clause, we weren't gonna do it. And we found that Ralph Klein was using very militaristic language and saying that we'd used every weapon in our arsenal to fight it. And some people feel that his very combative language gave us sort of tacit permission for young people to take this violence out into the streets. And we found that statistically there was a big spike in bashings and hate crimes in the Edmonton area. So and then, you know, we wanted to use rap, I guess, to tell the story. It's such a hyper masculinized music, but in its roots, it's a music of protest. It's a music of an underclass who was attempting to elucidate their struggle. And so in a way, it was incredibly inappropriate, and in another way, incredibly appropriate for us to sort of utilize this form of music to tell our little story.
Well, I'm really happy to hear that, you know, the everyday person really enjoyed and embraced Bashed. In fact, you've been invited to New York City for an off-Broadway run.
Yeah.
You've got a shot at the big time, and I'm wondering, you know, how much pressure is there for you to succeed beyond Edmonton?
Well, you know, it's Edmonton's great that way because, you know, it's wonderful to succeed and get to go to bigger cities and see the world and everything like that. But Edmonton provides a safe home, you know, a safe cushion to crash back onto. And, you know, if you don't manage to get the brass ring like you might hope, there's always, you can go home in Stedmonton.
That's what they call it, hey, in Stedmonton. Well, it's nice to know that you have a place to come back to. You're also the artistic director of Rapid Fire Theatre, one of the many, many theatre companies here in the city. It's an improv company, and I was wondering, why do you think improv is such a vital part of the art scene here?
Well, I think there's a sort of a geographical answer to that a little bit. Theater sports as an improv form was invented out of the University of Calgary back in the 70s by Professor Keith Johnstone. And Edmonton was really close to that when it was invented. So Rapid Fire Theatre is the second oldest theater sports performing company in the world. Rapid Fire Theatre specifically developed a little differently from Loose Moose in Calgary because we started learning, you know, a sort of free-form and improvisational treatises on themes, you know, like blue or ocean or whatever. And we have really embraced long-form improv in a way that Calgary hasn't. So in that way, I think it's certainly arguable, but I think that Edmonton pulled ahead and embraced more varied forms of improv than Calgary did.
Well, it's pretty cool because we are right now sitting in the rehearsal hall of the Varscona Theater, which is a meeting place for several different theater companies. It sounds like there's a real alliance, a real community of people working together.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And this building is a real good example of the sort of Edmonton spirit. It was a city-owned building, and it was about to be redeveloped into like an Earl's restaurant or a place where scantily clad women serve martinis to oil executives. But instead, theater companies banded together, and they canvassed the city, and they wrested control of the building. So now this is a cultural landmark.
And it's kind of neat, you know, that you were able to maintain such a goodwill between each other. Why isn't it cutthroat? Why are people willing to work together here?
Well, I think it goes back to life just being a little bit easier to manage in Edmonton in terms of rents, in terms of financial pressure predominantly. That's changing. We're in a boom, and people are finding housing. We've got a lot of nouveau homeless. You're seeing the lunch lines. People are standing in them holding their hard hats. You know, we've got a lot of working homeless here, and so things are changing. And I am concerned about what we're going to see in the arts community in the future, because the rents here are starting to be Toronto rents. But leaving that aside, speaking historically, there's always been enough opportunities to keep artists working. And what you trade for that, I guess, is a little bit of a low ceiling. You know, you're only going to get so big if you work exclusively inside of Edmonton. That's why people use it as a launching pad. It's the very best place in the country, I think, to build a new piece. What I would like to see in the future, especially as Edmonton is growing in terms of people and in terms of wealth, is for local people to really get into the scene here. You know, another 10,000 people who habitually go to see theater would change this from a place where you have to ship everything out to a place where the scene itself is being enjoyed by a sufficient number of people to make it really self-sufficient.
That is playwright, actor, and Rapid Fire Theater artistic director Chris Craddock. His fringe hit Bashed, a gay rap opera, opens a 3-month stint off Broadway in June of 2008. You know, our search for Edmonton's funny bone led us to a thing called Dynasty. It's an improvised soap opera that's been running here for 17 years. Every week, a troupe of fast-on-their-feet actors get together here at the Varscona Theatre to perform a continuing storyline without the benefit of a script. Now, the Dynasty crew have convinced me that if I really want to see the city's comedy community in action, I have to jump on stage. I'm just about to do that, but before I do, I'm here in the audience with a hardcore Dynasty regular, Nicole Thibault. Hello, Nicole.
Hello.
Okay, so first of all, how long have you been coming to Dynasty shows?
About 3 years now.
3 years? How hardcore are fans of Dynasty?
There are some pretty hardcore fans that take logs of everything that's happening during the show and post it and keep stories going and imagine their own stories. Yeah.
So, Nicole, have you seen other people take the stage in improvisation who have never done that before?
Yeah, we've had a lot of people from around town come up onto stage before.
It's terrifying. I am terrified. How do I do it? What should I do?
Just invent a character and just run with it.
Okay, so what if I didn't invent a character and I just, you know, went up as me, you know, the host of DNTO? Do you think that would work?
Well, why don't you go up as you investigating something, like the murder of Lala Sachet from last week?
Who's that?
She played a supermodel on the show, and she got murdered at the end of the episode.
Nicole, that's a good idea. Okay, that's what I'm rolling with. Thank you.
You bet.
That is Nicole Thibault, big fan of Dynasty. Okay, I think my scene's ready to go.
Chalmers and her huge guiding lights are proud to present the 17th season of the best return of your daylight savings investment, Dynasty! Jack Victor is surprised to find reporter Sukin Lee has gotten through security and is in his waiting room.
You start.
Oh. Hi. I'm Sukin Lee from DNTO on CBC Radio 1.
How did you get in here?
I just walked up on stage. I was sitting right there in the front row.
Sukin, your gifts are myriad. Your talents, unfathomable. I find myself falling in love with you. Is it too hard to believe that?
It's quick.
Have you ever found love before? You can tell me there's no one else around.
Tell me the truth. Tell me. What do you know of love? The art of it. The fun of it.
Well?
I knew you'd start with a zinger.
Jack, I'm here for the biggest pop culture scoop of the century. I want to know what happened to supermodel Lala Sachet. People are saying she's dead.
This is very serious. A murder in Port Fort is, well, it's something we faced before. Unfortunately, I was in Abu Dhabi buying an airport. But I'll tell you this. We'll get to the bottom of whoever killed this talented young woman. We must. How can we function as a society if we can't get to the bottom of who kills our people? The mind of the murderer living among us.
Where do you think? What do you think, Jack?
I don't know. I don't trust a single person in this town. And yet I trust and respect and love them all.
Were you in love with her? Oh, your cell phone just went out. It said Looney Tunes.
Yes, it might be Bugs Bunny calling. Give me a minute. Jack Victor, Senior, how can I help you? I'll put you on speakerphone. Hello. The cocksucker hung up.
Okay, well, my work is done, and that means it's time to get out of here. But first, I am going to send it over to a funny man who has his own take on Edmonton's appetite for comedy, our man in L.A., John Wing.
This is John Wing reporting from the left coast of America, where Edmonton is rarely mentioned. And if it is rendered with that hateful appendage, Edmonton, Canada. Now, I'm not denying that Edmonton is in Canada, but when spoken of, it should always be Edmonton, Alberta. A great city, smallish but powerful and most important, sure of itself. If you don't count Yellowknife, I've traveled to every major city in Canada, and I've found them all, eventually. For a comedian, they all have their idiosyncratic ways. Ottawa has the smartest audiences, which is not to say that any Canadian audiences are dumb, although some can be silent and a teensy bit tight-assed, although I'm certainly not talking about London, Ontario. St. John's people are the happiest to see you, Halifax second in that category. Torontonians are always in a hurry, Winnipeggers in a hurry to get indoors, etc., etc. Edmonton audiences are, overall, the best in the country, and have been since I started traveling there over 20 years ago. They are there to have fun, and are willing to go off with you on any tangent you might choose. They never judge you, lest they may be judged. Comedy audiences in general are an odd group. They come, pay their money, have a few drinks, and laugh, or not, at the performers. Hamilton audiences drink the most, although it never seems to affect their comedic equilibrium. As one begins to travel and perform a lot, a feel for the audience in a particular city becomes part of the mix. How did I do here last time? Did I bomb? Did I kill? Did they like me? Calgary audiences can be wonderful, but you're never sure if they will be or not. They want their city to be seen as sophisticated and cosmopolitan. They do not like to be called Cowtown. They are so much more than Westerners. They're slightly envious of their counterpart, what with Edmonton being the capital and all those Stanley Cup banners hanging from the ceiling at Rexall Place. They feel they somehow deserve better. People in Edmonton don't care if you make fun of them, although they would prefer if you make fun of Calgary. They are what they are. They have the Fringe Festival, the biggest mall, lots of oil, their hockey and football teams, White Avenue, and of course, Wayne Gretzky. Who could ask for more? Here's a perfect example of what Edmonton means. When the Yuck Yucks Club was in the West Edmonton Mall, there used to be a Saturday night one-nighter between the first and second show in a little town called Wetaskiwin, about 25 miles away. You would do the first show in Edmonton, jump in the car, and head out to this little bar in Wetaskiwin, do a 30 or 40-minute show there, and then zip back to the mall for your late show. The show in Wetaskiwin was always bad. The bar was sparsely filled with serious drinkers, there was no stage, and mostly people just stared at you, occasionally deigning to belch or fart in your general direction. If they laughed, it was such a shock it almost always threw you off. That's what other comedians said anyway. I don't recall ever getting a single laugh in that room. As you drove away, swearing to God and Sonny Jesus you would never do this cruel and unusual gig ever again, your only solace was that you were headed back to Edmonton and a show that would put it right. Perhaps I have a special place in my heart for Edmonton for another reason. In 1987, roughly 20 years ago last month, I was there to do a week at Yuck Yucks, and the middle act was a lady from Portland, Oregon, named Dawn Green. We hit it off, became friends, and then a little more, and I married her 18 years ago. We have two children, and she's still really funny, although she doesn't do comedy professionally anymore. She's a school teacher now. She believes spending all day with a bunch of screaming seven-year-olds is infinitely better than a one-nighter in Wetaskiwin. And she may be right. But I digress. Is Edmonton the funniest city? It could be. Its name, though a bit unusual, isn't as easy to make fun of as, say, Regina or Moose Jaw. Michael J. Fox, Leslie Nielsen, and Tommy Chong were born in Edmonton. Not a bad trifecta. There's no Chinook wind, but so what? Edmontonians like the cold. They like their city, and they don't care if you don't. They are who they are, and if you have a problem with that, why don't you go stick it where the sun don't shine? Which would be, of course, Vancouver. I'm John Wing.
You're listening to the Best of DNTO podcast. I'm Sukyun Lee. Three Dead Trolls in a Baggie was the notorious Edmonton sketch comedy group featuring Wes Borg, Joe Bird, and Paul Mather. They often took on risque and controversial subjects and sang funny songs. So we decided to pay a visit to guitar-wielding former Dead Troll Joe Bird. And here's what happened.
She's ringing the doorbell. Don't you know the radio people know how to ring? Main floor, doorbell.
Oh, yeah. Doorbell. That's right. It says main floor. Yeah. Joe's Rockin' Bachelor Pad. Oh.
With bachelor spelled wrong.
Yes, are you Joe Bird?
Hi.
It's
nice to meet you.
Hi, Joe. I'm Sukyun.
It's always nice to meet a girl named Sukyun.
Welcome. And look at you. Look at you. I'm going to paint a picture. You have a face that is like Ravine's nephew.
Yeah.
You have a spectacular Wolfman Jack kind of lid.
And a chiseled beard.
Chiseled beard.
Very steady hand.
Is that Edmonton style?
Totally Edmonton style.
Nice.
I started it.
Hey, this is a nice place, Joe.
Thank you very much.
Very wide opening area here.
This is the foyer.
You have a pinata?
Yes, I've had many pinatas.
Skates and a rolled up mattress in the corner by the vacuum. All right, now we have made our way into the kitchen of Joe Bird. Nice kitchen. You got guitars in the corner. It's very homey.
Well, it is. It used to belong to a dearest friend of mine, Mr. Paul Bellows, who's a very wonderful musician in his right. I've been here for about 2.5 years, and I'm kind of a homey sort of fellow. Wait till you see my bathroom.
Hey, we were listening to a bit of Three Dead Trolls, and you know, you guys left no stone unturned. You made fun of everything from global warming to moms, Ralph Klein, and the Pope. So what makes you go straight for the jugular of the sacred cows in your comedy?
I don't remember anything from Three Dead Trolls in a Baggie these days. It's something that I'm leaving in my past. But if I were to remember, I would say it was because not a lot of people were doing it. And we were younger. And the shock value of, say, pulling a snake out of someone's bum, for funny, for comic value, and gay wrestling and such and whatnot, and Saskatchewan burning its fields down in order to grow hemp and pot and secede from Canada, it just all seemed like good ideas and funny ideas. And we didn't do it purely for the shock. We did it because it made us laugh.
Oh, that's important, to be able to make yourself laugh. What are you going to laugh at today? What are you taking the pee out of in song?
The pee... I'm not sure I follow your question.
I'm not allowed to say that word.
Oh.
So I shorten it. I meant pee dot.
For expletives? We're not allowed...
I can't. You can, but I can't.
Okay, good. I like laying ground rules. That's very important in an interview with someone that I've just met.
What are you going to make fun of in your song?
Well, apparently Edmonton. is this is, you know, the city that I am definitely from is a funny city. Some when your producers emailed me, they wanted me to discuss or think about why Edmonton is so darn funny. Or I'm allowed to say, she couldn't even email me an expletive. She had to say darn. So even in email, so why Edmonton's, you know, so damn funny. Okay, so I think we're like we've always been like the fat kid in class, you know, the one who's not really that popular. He's kind of chubby, he's not very good, you know, he's okay, he's not very good looking, doesn't have a lot of money, but he makes the other students laugh, like the cool kids. And so they kind of keep him around. I think that's why kind of Calgary sort of keeps us around, is because, you know, we sort of make them laugh, and they're a little bit more pompous than we are. Like, we laugh at, you know, Edmonton, say, as a entity, we like fart jokes, and we like, you know, toilet humor, and it, you know, Calgary might, you know, kind of snicker a little bit, but, you know, then they'll make some sort of witty, you know, rhetoric, and we'll smile. But once you get Calgary really, really drunk, they go along with it. Like, it's all pretty regional in our humors. But I'm going to, you know, it's not so much taking the piss out of Edmonton as just letting the rest of the country know that that we're pretty effing funny, maybe. I think Paul Mather's funny. He's from Edmonton.
Oh yeah. You know what? Got to hear the song. So what is it called?
It's called the Edmonton Song.
Right on.
I know, isn't that ironic?
Between the dust balls of Saskatchewan and the storm clouds of BC, there's a city in the middle, a little bit north of Didsbury, where the natives all are happy and the lakes are fresh and clean. There is no unemployment and no one is mean. In the summer there's no mosquitoes, and the winters are never cold. Everything is eco-friendly and you never get old. Oh, Edmonton, your mountains are so swell. In Edmonton, no one ever goes to hell. No power bills or GST, and Visa never phones. Elvis is alive in Millwoods, but we leave him alone. 'Cause we're in Edmonton, where Walmart don't exist. In Edmonton, Ralph Klein's the guy who's sorely missed. No waiting for the buses, or standing in a line. The banks are all non-profit, and the North Saskatchewan tastes like wine. Here, Sooklet, why don't you try a glass? Try it out.
Okay.
That's good drinking.
Oh, yeah.
So shout Edmonton, where the courts are always fair. Come on, you guys, shout Edmonton.
Edmonton.
Where mechanics, they never, ever swear. Ooh, I burnt my finger on the darn manifold. That's gonna hurt come winter. The rednecks and the hippies live in perfect harmony, growing wheat and marijuana together hydroponically. Nobody has pimples, and the skies are always clear. And when the Messiah comes back to Earth, I know he'll be born here. The phone line's never busy, and you're never put on hold. Edmonton's the city whose hockey players will never be sold. In Edmonton, everyone says please. In Edmonton, no one ever cuts the cheese. Whoa, Edmonton. Whoa, Edmonton. The city of champs is the city for me. Edmonton, city by the sea.
Cheer, cheer, woo!
Choo, choo.
That is Joe Bird performing his song Edmonton, right smack dab in the center of his kitchen in downtown Edmonton. That was lovely. Thank you so much, Joe, for playing that for us.
Sookie, it was a pleasure. Shall we to the boudoir?
Okay.
The DNTO Podcast, free for your downloading convenience.
And the final word on Edmonton's Funny Bone is coming to us from Dawn Dumont. Now, she's a Cree comic, and not long ago, she moved here from New York City. Dawn's got a gift for finding the funny in racism and relationships. Here's what she sounds like on stage doing her thing.
But, you know, I live here in Edmonton now, and I really like it. But I kind of miss the attention, you know, that, like, women get in New York from the guys. But I was actually coming out of West End Mall the other day, and I bumped into this guy. And he's like, hey, watch where you're going, squaw. And I was like, oh, my God. Thanks for noticing. Yeah, cute little cracker. Because we spoke the same language. Racism. Oh, I tell you, I'm not a fan of racism, especially when it screws with my dating life. Because I went on a date with this white guy, because I'm down with a non-brown. And, you know, and the date was going fine, you know, until one point he says to me, you know, Don, you speak very well for a native. And I was like, oh, well, I guess I have your people to thank for that. And then I ordered something very expensive.
That was Dawn Dumont, recorded at Yuck Yucks here in Edmonton for the CBC Winnipeg Comedy Festival Showcase. Hello, Dawn.
Hi.
Oh, my gosh. Did that actually happen to you here in Edmonton?
It did, actually, and it's about three doors down in a restaurant down here, so, yeah, it's real.
How did you react at the time?
I was just shocked, and it was really weird because I was like, should I explain all the history about everything, you know, or should I just continue eating my meal, you know? So, yeah, that's basically what I did, just sort of sat there because sometimes you get tired of explaining things.
Well, I mean, what made you want to write a joke about that?
I think that most comedians get involved in comedy because they're interested in justice. So when something happens that, you know, just sort of shakes you a bit or, you know, sort of makes you question whether or not society is going moving in the right direction, you know, you just feel like you have to step up and say something about it. I mean, another shocking element of this whole thing was, see, I don't go on a lot of dates, and this guy was really hot. So when he said that, I was like, damn, another one's gone. So, you know, it was pretty horrible for me, and because I couldn't stop talking about it, I figured, well, I guess I'm going to have to write a joke about it.
Does this sort of thing happen in Canada? Is this kind of racism something that doesn't really get talked about?
You know, I'm of mixed minds, because, I mean, on one hand, you know, I feel like, well, maybe if you don't look for it, then you won't find it. But the sad thing is, when you do sort of look, you start seeing a lot of things cropping up. These jokes, when I tell them on stage here in Edmonton, you know, people, they don't feel very good about them a lot of times. You know, they'll be like this stunned reaction first. The squad joke, for instance, that just knocks people for a second. And then people want to see me fight back and say something powerful.
How does the humor allow the pill to be easier digested?
I think, well, first of all, I bring it up because it's real and people are trying to pretend that it's not there. It's there. So I'm sort of like just bringing it up. This is what you guys think. I'm just going to say it here just so that we both know that it's not a good thing. But you know what? Let's just laugh at it, because the thing is, I can't segregate myself from racist people. I live with them all the time. I run into them all the time. You know, it's just something you realize. Even if someone is racist, at the same time, they may still be a decent person. You can't just dismiss them.
Well, it sounds like comedy is a much more effective way of teaching people to outgrow their ignorance rather than having to sit down with your date and do a long-winded explanation over your fettuccine meal.
True, because I think I reached a lot more people.
Dawn, you lived in the Big Apple as a working comedian. How does the scene here in Edmonton compare to New York City?
Well, in terms of stage time, 1,000 times better. New York, you have to pay for stage time, or you have to do all these humiliating little things like walk out on the street and ask people to come into the club. And just so they know, just so the club knows that you know you're being humiliated, they call you barkers. And you're like, come on to the club. And then people are like, oh, well, tell me a joke first.
Oh, no.
And you're standing in the rain and you're cold and wet. You're not being paid for any of this. You're like, is it really supposed to be this hard? And then I come out to Edmonton. You email your name to someone. They email you back, say, show up on this day. You get there. You don't have to stand outside. And they give you a drink. I'm like, oh, my God, this is like heaven.
This is heaven. Well, thank you so much, Dawn, for meeting us today.
Thank you very much.
That is comedy writer Dawn Dumont. Her whole set from the CBC Winnipeg Comedy Festival Showcase will be airing on CBC Radio 1. And Dawn, you've got a new TV series in the works. What is it?
It's called By the Rapids. It's an animation comedy series. It's going to be on APTN. It's about a spoiled little Mohawk boy who lives in Toronto, and his parents send him away back to the reserve where he has to like learn to get along. And I really love working on this series because it's not really about being native. It's about the differences between, you know, the urban and the country. And what I really like is the characters. You know, they're all animated, but they're all different colors. And it's the first time I've ever seen like how the diversity of what Aboriginal people looks like on screen.
That is awesome. Well, thanks so much, Dawn, for talking with us, and I look forward to seeing the series. That is Dawn Dumont. Be sure to check out her work in By the Rapids, an animation comedy series on APTN. And that is it for this week's edition of the Best of DNTO. Don't forget to check us out on the radio. Visit cbc.ca/DNTO to find out when we're on the air. And if you want to send us feedback on our podcast, please do. Email dnto@cbc.ca or call our brand new toll-free number. Those magical digits are 1-866-630-3686. Our show is brought to you by a cast of characters very funny in their own right. Nick Purden, Anna Lazowski, Sarah Tate, Doug Holmes, and Joff Schmidt. Iris Uday is our executive producer. Special thanks to our colleagues in Edmonton, Joe Fingerote and Peter Brown. I'm Sue Kinley. Thank you so much for downloading us, and we'll see you next week.
Hi, I'm Jesse Brown. I'm the host of Search Engine, a new CBC radio show that is all about how the internet is changing politics and culture. It's not a gadget show. We don't really care much about technology so much as we care about the effect that technology is having on the world that we live in. All of the surprising and significant and funny stories that we bring you on Search Engine are about things that are happening right now. In the short time that we've been on the air, we've already become the CBC's most popular news podcast in the States. So come find out why. Subscribe to our podcast on CBC's podcasting page or through iTunes.